Let's all find our place, and it's time to get the service started. We've got a few more folks coming in. We're glad to see you here on Wednesday night. Good to have Brother John back. Brother John James been in Chicago for almost 3 weeks, pretty close to 3 weeks, and so I know he's glad to be back in South Carolina. And then good to have Grace here with us. Amen. Been a long time. Good to see Grace here. That's Martha's granddaughter, and we're glad to see her here with us. And then Steve and Gail have their two. Is the other one not with you? Only got two of them this time? Okay. Her two grandchildren, their two grandchildren are here with them as well. And then Susan's got her grandkids, Noah and Emma. We've got a lot of grandkids around here tonight. That's good. I like it. And then, of course, Ms. Wass, she is a member ad hoc. We love Ms. Wass and are glad she's still able to be here with us. And Mary's okay. So Mother came and picked up Mary. All right. So now it's just Naomi. Let's see. Now you're going to be here for 40 days. It's been about a week, so that makes about 33 days now, doesn't it? Something like that? okay. Got to get home time for that sleepover. All right. So there you go. Sir? At your house? Oh, so you're going over to Miss Susan's house. Okay. And have a little sleepover? You're doing it after church. Well, I'm glad you're doing it after church and not during church. That's good. I'm glad for that. All right. I tell you what. Let's all get a hymn book and stand together as Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song.
All right, number 322 says, Stand Up for Jesus. 322, everybody take a hymnal and sing out tonight. All right, we'll sing all three stanzas tonight. Sing together. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this historic day. Ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and marching unto prayer. Where duty calls for danger, be never
the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service. Good to see you all here. Brother Melvin Wright, how about you lead us in prayer? Would you please? Amen. All right, you can be seated. Again, thank you so much for being here this evening. And a couple things I'll mention quickly. Brother Sonny Branham had his surgery this afternoon. Got out right at 5:30 and everything's good. They fused two of his vertebrae to relieve the pressure from the nerve. They found a lot of bone spurs that they did not necessarily know about, so they got those two. So the doctor told Judy that as far as he knew, this ought to give him a good bit of relief from the pain he was in. Now, of course, you never know about those things until it's healed and the swelling's down. He'll have to wear a neck brace, soft brace for a little while. He's staying the night tonight because it was so late in the day and they did want to keep an eye on him. Brother Sonny is 75 years old. I did not know that. I'm telling you, he's a very well preserved for 75. Amen. I'm telling you, it looks great. But you pray for that. They were very excited that looked like this thing could be quite a bit of relief for him. You know, he's been a lot of pain over the last while. after that ladder fell on him. And so we're hoping that this will be at least, if not a total cure, at least enough where he'll be able to enjoy living again. So anyway, he's at Baptist Hospital. She has not texted the room number to me yet. But again, he's only going to stay through maybe till lunchtime or so, just depending on how well he does up until tomorrow at some point. And so I hope that you'll remember to continue praying for him. Miss Dot England's at home, at her home now. She went back to the doctor, and I'm assuming everything was good. Surgery went well, so she got to go back home. And so maybe we'll see her this weekend, we hope, but glad that she's doing well. And then Sister Judy Branham, of course, I told you she kind of hurt herself mowing the yard, but she's doing okay. And she's so excited that looks like maybe Sonny will have some relief because that pain was such that it caused other situations. They found out, of course, that Brother Sonny also has Parkinson's disease, but they have not been able to treat it yet because of the neck situation. They didn't want to put him on any medication until they got that fixed. So now they're going to work on that as they go along. But we're hoping that that'll just kind of help him to get straightened out a little bit. And I appreciate Judy said, be sure and tell all the church family. Thank you so much for praying for her. Remember the Wright family. This is a family over at Gant Street. Just Miss Martha just told me the man. He was the superintendent of Sunday school. You might remember during our revival, a young man named Brent Hyatt, big, tall, blonde headed boy, and his wife were here. And we knew Brett. Judy taught Brett in high school or in sixth grade. And I had him in high school. And he married a girl from here. And he works in Lexington. Anyway, this man is her daddy, and he died suddenly Friday. Oh, he hasn't. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, he's been shot, but he has. Oh, thank you so much, man. I told two other folks, so disregard what I said then. Well, I'm preaching on misunderstandings tonight. Boy, I guess I need to preach it to myself first, don't I? I'm telling you. Well, there you go. So he has not died. Thank the Lord. Oh, okay. Good. I'm so sorry. I misunderstood or mistook the information. So that's why that's dangerous, isn't it? Amen. So what hospital is he in? Do you know? Okay, probably Lexington. All right, well, pray for the family and him. Okay. And see, then when I think back, and I notice that when I asked Martha when was the funeral, she didn't answer me. And that's right, because there isn't one. So there you go. See, you gotta pay attention. You gotta have all your senses available. So I'm sorry about that. I told Judy about it. Disregard. Yeah, thank the Lord for that, because we know Brent very well. Brent's a good young man in Victoria, and so I'm glad. Hopefully he'll recover then and be all right. So pray for the Wright family that he recovers. Thank you for correcting that. I appreciate that. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to mention tonight? Yes. Oh, going home tomorrow, huh? Well, she's had all of us she can stand, and so she's heading home. Did they get your house sold? Not yet. So they're still trying to sell her home up in Minnesota. Oh, they didn't have it this week. So, yeah, they're trying to downsize a little bit. So you pray for her. She travels back to Minnesota. But we've enjoyed having you here, Ms. Wass. It's always a joy to have you here. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request? Yes, sir. Okay. Pray for Brianna. All right. Yes, sir, Brother Melvin. All right, good. He had some major surgery. Brother Melvin sent that out the other day, and so he's breathing on his own. So no tube or anything now. So that's his nephew Tommy. Okay, doing dialysis. Right. Okay, so let's continue to pray for him. Your nephew. Now, is that Edward's boy, or is that another family member? Another brother. Okay. So pray for Tommy. Right. All right. Let's continue to pray for him. All right. Anybody else? All right. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. We want to bring these folks to you in prayer just for a moment. Now, Lord, we pray for Mr. Wright. I'm glad that I was corrected on that. Lord, I'd hate to tell something that wasn't true. And but I'm glad that he is surviving, and I hope, God, that you'll touch him. Whatever happened and however it happened, Lord, you know all about it, but he's a good man. I remember meeting him once at one of the meetings there. And then, of course, Brent and his wife, Victoria. We've known Brent for a long time. And, Lord, we're thankful for that. So continue to touch his body and heal him. May he recover well from whatever happened in the situation. Then, Lord, we pray for Brother Melvin's nephew, Tommy, in the hospital there. Lord, thankful that he is seems to be on the mend a little. Continue to bless him and cause him to be well. Lord, we pray for Miss Dot England. Glad that she's at home. For Brother Sonny, thank you for the surgery being, at least in the eyes of the doctor, a success. And now we'll see as he recovers and as he gets back to normal life. God, I pray that you touch Brother Sonny. He's such a joy to our hearts here, Lord. Always got that good smile on his face. And Lord, even laying there before the surgery, he just seemed like he just had the joy of the Lord in him. And I thank you for that. But Lord, you know his situation with his mind and then with his body. So we do pray, God, that you'll begin to touch him and bring him around. And the same for Miss Judy as well. Lord, all the others, you know what's needed here, God. You know every heart. You know every life. Lord, you know every prayer request for Brianna. Lord, that you'd give her heart to Jesus. So many on our list of people that need to be saved. And I pray, God, that we'll be a church that reaches out to the unsaved. God, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity back here. Touch every person in our church, Lord, that needs a touch from heaven for whatever they need. And God, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Brian.
Real quickly, one last reminder about the events of this weekend. On Saturday at 10 a.m. is Sewing Saturday for our men. So all you men, meet here at 10 o'clock so we can meet. And Pastor have a plan for us to go out in the neighborhoods and knock on some doors and tell folks about Jesus. 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Sunday is Father's Day, so we'll be honoring our fathers on Sunday morning. And on Sunday night, we'll honor our dads by having a little fellowship out here. And we're asking the ladies to bring sandwiches and a drink. Miss Judy, you have what you need for setting up? Okay. So thank you all for helping out with that. So we look forward to seeing you on Sunday, the Lord's Day, and also Father's Day in the house of the Lord today. And don't forget, later in the month, we'll just keep on pestering you about them. But the Rusty Anchors meeting on 26th, the Tuesday the 26th here at the church, the ladies meeting at Bible Baptist in Monroe on the 30th. Start clearing your calendars for that as well. All right. Thanks.
All right. Take your hymnals once again. Number 341, Miss Ramona, this is for you. 341, let's stand and sing the first and last. A victory in Jesus, 341. All right, sing out.
I've heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing at the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll bring up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and loved me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to
pray. Let's enjoy a little time of fellowship.
Continue on with the service. Come on, ushers. Let's get ready to take the offering tonight. Come on, ushers. Y'all having a good time back there. I hate to interrupt you. It's always better to see the big usher hugging the little usher than hitting him. So that's always a good thing. So they're back there enjoying one another's fellowship. Amen. All right, it's offering time. And I appreciate the way you give to missions and other things on these Wednesday nights. And we appreciate it very much. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the offering. Brother Ralph, would you pray for the offering, please?
Before Pastor comes tonight, Brother Brian, Brother Steve coming to sing for us.
29th, for me, it'll be 42 years of being saved, and it's just hard to believe. Time has just gone by so. When the Lord saved me, I was in a situation where, I believe the Lord saved me right where I need to be saved, when I need to be saved, and so all that's fine. But there, to me now, just me, there seemed to be more emphasis on feeling rather than doctrine, that kind of thing. And I heard somebody say way back then, it's better felt than telt. Y'all heard that before, haven't you? It's better felt than telt. But as I grew in the Lord, I found out that really my feelings can come and go, but the telling, the Word of God, is forever settled in heaven.
Right.
I learned it's better telt than felt.
Right.
Really. But you know what's better than that? It's better felt and telt. Or telt and felt. So that's kind of what this song is about to me. A little boy stood gazing into the clouds above. I know my kite is still up there, for I can feel the tug. A smile then crossed his little face, the tug had made it real. That's just the way the Spirit works. Thank God for what I feel. Thank God for what I feel inside. I know my God is real. I can feel it tug from heaven above. My hungry soul He fills. God gave His only Son to die. Oh, ransom, oh, what love. I know God holds the thread of life, for I can feel the tug. When life down here is finished, and I've crossed the great divide, I'll be free from all sorrow when I've reached the other side. For my treasures are up yonder in a land of perfect love. I know God holds the thread of life, for I can feel the tug. Thank God for what I feel inside. I know my God is real. I can feel His tug from heaven above. My hungry soul He feels. God gave His only Son to die.
for I can feel the tug. I know God holds the thread of life, for I can feel the tug.
All right, a pretty profound truth in a simple little song. Good. Thank you, guys. Get your Bibles out. Ready to listen now as the pastor comes.
Amen. Thank you, Brian and Steve, for that good song. I'm glad I can feel it. Not saved by feeling, but it's good to feel it once in a while. Whether it's the joy of the Lord or even the conviction of the Lord. Because the Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so I'll tell you, I always knew when my dad was fussing at me that who it was directed towards. Amen. I didn't have to guess. Same thing with the Lord. Well, I want you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 10. I don't know if I've ever preached on this thought before. 2 Samuel chapter number 10. And it must be the Lord for me to misspeak as I did, having heard Martha, but not hear everything. I did not intentionally change the message or in any way try to give it wrong. I thought I heard it that way, and sometimes that's the way it's never a good thing to operate without all the facts. Amen? There was a woman who was, I was thinking about Ms. Wasp when they said she told me she's flying home about 5 o'clock or so tomorrow morning, so she's got to get up early and fly out. There's a woman going to the airport, and she had a long flight ahead of her. She didn't eat breakfast, so when she got to the airport, she went over to the vending machine and she bought one of those little packs of cookies, 6 cookies in there. So she got her cookies and bought a newspaper, went over to the seating area where they wait and sat down and started to read the newspaper. While she was reading the newspaper, she heard a package rustling. And when she pulled down the newspaper, there was a man sitting across from her who had opened those cookies and was eating one. Well, she thought, he's eating my cookies. But I'm not going to make a scene here at the airport in front of everybody. And so she got one out of the package and started reading the newspaper. Well, it wasn't long, she heard it rustle again. She looked over the paper and he was getting another one. Now she's thinking, I better hurry up and eat my cookies. And so she got one. Well, it happened one more time. Well, this time she heard the rustling. There was one cookie left. She looked over the newspaper, and the man reached over and got it and broke it in half and slid half to her, and he ate the other half. So now she's just fuming. She's so upset. And about that time, she's getting ready to say something to the man. Well, the lady came on and said, boarding, they call the seat numbers, boarding at this time. So she was kind of in a hurry. She wanted to get to her seat. So she goes over to the place there, and the lady says, can I have your ticket? So she reaches in her pocketbook to get the ticket, and guess what she found? Her pack of cookies. She was eating his cookies. I read this text, I'm glad we started off laughing, because you may not be laughing by the time I get done. I don't know. No, I want to preach on the idea of misunderstandings, and that illustration. Now, I read the text, I got the thought, I found the illustration. Of course, I didn't make that up. But I thought it was apropos for the passage we're about to read. David, of course, is the king of Israel. In chapter 9, you remember, he is good to Mephibosheth. In fact, you're in 2 Samuel 10. Look at chapter 9 for just a moment. And notice verse 3. The Bible said, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show, and notice, the kindness of God. And we know that David did in fact show Mephibosheth the mercy, and it's a picture of the mercy of God to the sinner. How the king showed mercy to a man So now Mephibosheth, by the way, is Saul's grandson. And so he deserves to die because Saul is gone, Jonathan's gone, David is now the king, and so and of course we know that Mephibosheth was lame on his feet when he was a baby, and the nurse was running with him, dropped him, and I'm sure fractured his legs or whatever to the point that he no longer could use them. So he was lame on both of his feet. And yet David, for Jonathan's sake, that's a picture of God showing us kindness for Jesus' sake. And the Bible says that he let him eat under his table. You know, when he slid those old non-usable legs under that table to eat, nobody could tell that he was anything less than what he was. And I'm glad the song that we sing says, "Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine." None of us deserve to go to heaven, right? But God showed his kindness, and even more than that, his love. Well, so now we go to chapter 10. And notice, and I'm going to read all 19 verses, so I'm not going to ask you to stand tonight so you won't get tired. But I want to read the whole chapter because I want you to get this. Notice it says, "And it came to pass after this." So after chapter 9, after this story has happened, David has shown kindness to someone who did not deserve it. But now notice, he said, "It came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died." Now remember, the Ammonites are sworn enemies of Israel. "The king of Ammon has died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead." Now at this point in the relationship between Ammon and Israel, there's a peace. It's, I'm sure, an uneasy peace. But there seems to be some mutual respect here. Because the king dies and the king's son, as normal, takes over, becomes the king. Now notice, "Then said David, I will show," and what's the next word? "Kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me." So it looks to me like "do unto others as you would have others do unto you" really works. Galatians 6:7 really works. You do for someone and they'll do for you. It's always good to be good to somebody because it's good for them to be good to you. Amen. Great. Now, I mean, that's just a simple thought here, but let's read on. He said, "And David sent to comfort him," talking about the son, "sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it?" Now already there's a conflict here, isn't there? We know David's motive. Now it's true that Hanun didn't know it. And it's pretty certain that his advisors didn't know it. And so they say, "You know why he's coming. He's coming to spy out the land so he can overthrow us." Now, understand that up to this point, there's not even any animosity between them, really. Although there has been for centuries. But at this point, things seem to be all right. So Hanun really has no reason to think bad of David. But there are people in his ear convincing him that David's up to no good. Now let's read on. "Wherefore," verse 4, "Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards." Now a beard in these days was like a thing of honor. And to dishonor a man would be to shave off his beard without him wanting to, and even worse, take half of it. That's kind of like taking a man's pants, and cutting off one leg. And so it says that he shaved off one half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle. Now they're half naked. And even to their buttocks. Well, we all know what that is. And sent them away. Sent them out into the street. So you can imagine how embarrassed David's servants must have been. Let's read on. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. They didn't want to go before David this way. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return. Stay there until everything's back to normal and then you can come back. He understood their embarrassment. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David. Now, I want you to know that if you're not careful and if you don't operate on the facts, whatever comes from it's going to stink. It's not going to be right. It's going to be evil. I'll show you in the Word of God what God says about that. But it says that the people of Ammon, they knew this was wrong. Why did they do that to David? You know, we're getting along with David and with Israel. There's no reason for them to be mistreated. Now, they also did not know the reason why those servants were there. But they knew that the way they were treated was wrong. And so now they believe that somehow David is now going to take it out on them. Which, by the way, was the normal procedure back in those days. And so it says, when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians. Instead of admitting to what they'd done, they hired somebody to knock off the Israelites. The Syrians, who, by the way, were also at peace with Israel. So they hire the Syrians of Beth-Rehob, and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Makkah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. Now, it looks like war is about to happen, really, over a misunderstanding. The Bible goes on to say, and the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering of the gate, and of the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Makkah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. So he has split his force. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. So they are now, I have a plan. If either one of us gets in trouble, the other one's going to come a running. Now remember, all of this is happening over a misunderstanding. The Bible says in verse 12, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God. And the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh and the people that were with him unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together and had Arezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. One chapter, 19 verses, tells a great Bible truth. because in the chapter we read, we know that misunderstanding most of the time comes. Now, tonight, for example, Martha was telling me something and I thought I was listening, Martha. You had my attention. I don't know why I misunderstood what you said, and it was totally my fault. There was no motivation for me to get up here and tell you something happened that didn't happen. I've only met the man one time. That was a long time ago, but I know his daughter, of course, because they've been here. But what I'm saying is, had I gone out and really spread that story, who knows what kind of grief it might have brought to the family. I mean, I said it on live stream. What if somebody heard it and is calling their house and saying, "Did he die?" Now, you know that wasn't my intention. Not at all. I apologize 1,000 times for misunderstanding. Sometimes it happens by not paying attention or at least not hearing everything right. I mean, she had my attention. I wasn't doing anything else. I wasn't reading my Bible or looking at anything. I was listening to her, but I just misunderstood. But usually, misunderstandings are caused by either perception or assumption. Perception or assumption. Most misunderstandings and feuds and fights and wars, I mean, even to that extent, come by perceiving something that's not there or assuming something that you want to be there. The people of Ammon assumed, because the counselors told Hanun, "You know why he's coming, don't you?" They hate Israel. They were under subjection at this point, but they still hated Israel. And so because of that, they put in the ear of the king, a young man perhaps, that they were there to spy out the land and to destroy us. Well, instead of Hanun investigating, and by the way, you'll notice that when the servants got there, he didn't even speak to them. He never did hear from their mouths. Perhaps they had some kind of written document, a letter, or something from David that explained why they were there. He never even gave them that chance. He just acted on what he assumed to be right. And so because of that, the Syrians get involved. And again, the Syrians historically have always been the enemy of Israel. Then, as now, the Syrians, there's an uneasy peace between Syria and Israel. Syria is involved in its own civil war right now, so they don't have time to deal with the Jews. But the point is that they also had this uneasy sort of peace. Well, once Hanun assumed something that he did not know to be true, he hires a Syrian army. They're mercenaries. They're doing it for pay. And so they presume that they, along with the Ammonites, will be strong enough to defeat Israel. And of course, we just read, they were not. And so imagine the grief. 40,000 soldiers of the enemy, not Israel. As far as we know, no Israelite soldier died in this battle because it's not recorded. But 40,000 of the enemy died. That means 40,000 daddies, husbands, grandpas are now dead, and those homes are grieving because somebody misunderstood and didn't take the time to figure it out by the facts. Amen? Y'all with me now? I mean, this is a neat story to read to the children. You know, this story of war and what. But I'm telling you, this is for us tonight, us adults. Misunderstandings can be caused by both the speaker and or the hearer. What Martha told me tonight, she told exactly right. She did not create the misunderstanding. I did by not hearing it correctly. It can also, misunderstandings can be caused by the doer as well as the receiver. You ever done or said something and said, I wish I could do that over again? Or you said, you know, something comes up and you say, yeah, but you don't understand. I didn't mean it that way. You might say, I didn't say that, yeah, but I didn't mean it that way. Before I go any farther, here's what I want you to first understand. When you come to the place in your life where something like that occurs and you say, but I didn't mean it that way, the person that took it wrong or got it and anybody else may not agree, but I'm telling you, God knows your motive. And God knows if you're telling the truth. Because I have said things and I meant absolutely nothing by it. I'm telling you. And people took it and when they approached me or didn't, it just wound up going everywhere else. And finally I said, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I didn't mean, whatever you think I meant, I didn't mean that. And 9 times out of 10, they don't believe me. But here's the thing. God knows my heart. If you meant it the way you said it, God knows that. If you didn't, God knows that too. The point is that all of this, this whole 40,000 men died because one man didn't take the time to check it all out. Churches have died over the same problem. Christian relationships have died over the same problem. Marriages have died over the same problem. Families have been broken over the same problem. And so for God to put it in His Word this way is a means by which not only we as adults, but we can share this with our children by using this story as an example and say, here's what the story means. And teach your children and grandchildren, don't jump to conclusions until you got all the facts. Now I want to go back and look for, I'll give you 3 thoughts here tonight. We'll go home. Number one, go back to the text. Notice in verse 1 and 2, the overture of David. What is David doing? What's he mean here? Well, we know what he meant. This king of Ammon died, and apparently out of respect and even perhaps some measure of affection, said, you know what, I know his boy is really suffering. And so I'm going to send word to Hanun that me as king of Israel and our people, we may not have a great friendship. We may not be always see eye to eye, you know. He said, but because of this, I want him to know that we're thinking about him. We're sending our condolences. So, we find that he sends those men, and you know the story. Now, here's what I want you to see, and we'll move on. In chapter 9, David's kindness to the house of an enemy was received. Mephibosheth, the house of Saul, was his enemy. He showed kindness to his enemy. And it was received. And I think God honored the kingship and the kingdom of David because of that. Now in chapter 10, we find him offering his kindness to the house of a friend. And it turns into a misunderstanding and prelude to war. Isn't that amazing how a lot of times, and I said this the other night, a good deed never goes unpunished? Seems like in the world you try to do something nice, or you hear it now. And listen, some of you older folks may ask you to raise your hand. My dad used to tell me when he got home from the Korean War, he didn't have a way home. He had to come from San Diego to Detroit, didn't have a way home, so he had to hitchhike. Hitchhiked all the way home. Never had a problem. I wouldn't do that today. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't hitchhike, and I don't pick up a hitchhiker. Now you say, well, preacher, you know, they may be an angel unawares. Well, maybe. But I'm not going to find out. He might be a devil unawares. Say amen right there. I'm sorry it's that. I am. I'm sorry. I was at, went to the grocery store today, and this lady's in the parking lot with, on a crutch with a bandage around her leg. I was putting my stuff, and I heard her talking to a lady, and I thought it was a little unusual right in the middle of the parking lot like that. I thought they were friends. Well, then when that lady walked off, she said, sir, can I have a moment of your time? I said, uh-oh, I'm fixing to get touched. Because, you know, when someone has a real need, and but when they say, I'm a single mother, and I need money. It's like it's rehearsed. He said, well, preacher, what'd you do? I said, ma'am, I don't have anything for you. I mean, I didn't say, get away. But, you know, and you know what? After I turned, and when I said, and she turned around, I turned around, I looked back over my shoulder. She might have some feller with her wait, knock me in the head. You say, preacher, you watch too. No, I watch the news. I'm not watching movies. I'm watching the news. And it happens all the time. But I want you to real quickly hold your place. Turn to Ephesians 4 because I want to give you the scriptures that I have with this message tonight. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, because here we find in the New Testament. You know, that's the part of the Bible that we're supposed to really pay attention to, although the whole Bible is for our edification. But Ephesians chapter 4, notice that kindness is commanded. I'm talking about misunderstanding, but it starts a lot of times with simple kindness. Kindness is commanded. Ephesians 4 and verse number 32, that's page 1254. Notice the Bible said, and be ye kind one to another. Guess who they're talking to here? They're talking to believers to be kind to other believers. Because if you're not, be careful, a misunderstanding could come from it. Be ye kind one to another. Look, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as the Lord for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So kindness is commanded. By the way, what happens when you obey the Word of God? Good things happen, don't they? You know, when you do it God's way, there won't be a misunderstanding. If the sayer and the hearer both are obeying the Lord in their lives, there won't be a misunderstanding. But then turn to Colossians chapter 3. Here in Ephesians, go to Philippians and then Colossians. So just a few pages over from where you are. But it's page number 1265. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not only is kindness commanded, but it's considered clothing. Now, I wouldn't recommend you go to Penny's or Belk's and the lady say, can I help you? Yes, I'm looking for some kindness, please. Size 36. But notice what the Bible said, though. Verse number 12. Put on. Now, I don't know about you, but usually when you put on something, you're wearing it. He says, put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's Christians now. Put on as the elect of God, holy, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also so also do ye. Misunderstandings can lead to quarrels, that can lead to arguments, that can lead to fights, that can lead to division. And the Bible says, stop it before it starts. Martha, I ask you to forgive me for repeating wrong the story you told me. I hope you'll forgive me for that. Kindness is commanded. It's clothing. And then turn to 2 Peter. So you're still going backwards. You're in Colossians, then Thessalonians, Hebrews. Then you're going to find James. And then you're going to find 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter, actually. 2 Peter chapter 1. Not only is kindness commanded and its clothing, but kindness is combined. What do you mean? Well, let me show you. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 7. Well, let's go back to verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Add, not subtract, not divide. Add. When you add something, what are you doing? You're combining, are you not? So he said, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. There you go. David's overture to Hanun was one of kindness. He had no ulterior motive. And God knew, and he knew that God knew that he had no ulterior motive. But I believe with my heart, now the way they did it then was the king would send a messenger. But had David gone himself, they'd have done the same thing to David or tried. I don't know if David would have taken it. Of course, if you get surrounded by a bunch of men, a bunch of Ammonites, you know, you may not be able to fight back. So he offers his condolences, and look how it gets thrown back in his face. Because now notice in verses 3 through 5, the overturning of kindness. David offers it, and they throw it right back at him. Notice that David's good intentions were questioned. Those counselors, oh, and I'm going to give you some scripture in a minute. Watch out for who you listen to. Watch out for who you take counsel from. David's good intentions were questioned. They said, you know why he's come here. You know why he sent them people here. He's not coming here to be good to you because you lost your daddy. He sent him over here to spy out the land. He's going to take it. You remember when David showed up the first time with the army of Israel when that big Philistine was cursing God? And you remember who met him there? His own brother, Eliab. And said, what are you doing here, sonny? What are you doing here? Can't you see we're in the midst of a situation? And then he said, I know why you came. Didn't even wait for David to tell him why he came, which was to take bread and cheese to his brethren, to his own flesh and blood, to take them lunch from home. Brother Edwin, when you all were deployed and you folks are, you would have, boy, you'd have killed if out in the middle of the desert, all of a sudden, mom sent you a meal where you could get it and enjoy it. You know, after it travels 55,000 miles, it might not be as good as fresh, but you know, did you not enjoy getting anything from home? I mean, why? Because that was home. At least you got to look at it or eat it or smell it or whatever. It was from home. And Eliab said, we know why you're here. Before David could even give him the facts, he said, why don't you go home? He said, you're a troublemaker. You just came here to stir up trouble. Two things. Number one, you know what David did to Goliath. And the second thing is you never read about Eliab in the scripture ever again. That was his last mention. Why? Because he didn't wait for the facts. He questioned David's motive when David was there at the behest of his daddy, Jesse. How about when David killed all those Philistines and now he's on his way back to the kingdom and Saul's in the window? And here comes David, and those maidens are dancing and playing their tambourines. And they're singing a song that says, Saul hath killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And you know what? You know what? Before Saul got the report of the battle with the Philistines and how David, with the help of God, took the head off of Goliath and they destroyed many of those Philistines, instead, he got mad and he said, I'm going to kill that feller without the facts. It was the beginning of the end for Saul's reign. Because of a misunderstanding, he didn't wait for the facts. So David's good intentions were questioned. But then notice David's good intentions were misunderstood. Because Hanan, he didn't even wait. He didn't say, okay, fellas, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, let's talk to the servants. Let's see what's going on now. I mean, it's not like they're waiting to destroy us right this minute. Let's get the facts. Mm-mm. He mistreated those servants. Why? Because he listened to, number one, he listened to perverted counsel. Remember I told you be careful who you listen to? I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 7 quickly. Jeremiah chapter 7. Old Testament there. Right before the book of Ezekiel, I forgot to write the page numbers down on my notes here, so I'll have to try to give it to you. If you find it, you could. Jeremiah chapter number 7. I'm all the way in 32, so I know I'm not there yet. Page 780. Jeremiah chapter 7. Listen to verse 24. Now, Jeremiah's talking about the fact that he's preaching to the Jews and they're not, they want to kill Jeremiah. Look what it says in verse number 24. But they hearkened not, they didn't listen, nor inclined their ear, now notice, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil hearts. And look what happens when you start doing that. And they went backwards and not forward. Church, we need to be careful who we listen to. As a family, as a court, as a church family, as families, as marriages, as individuals, you better pay attention. You better be careful who you listen to, and don't do anything until you get the facts. Because I'm telling you, the Bible said you'll go backwards. Now, Paul said to press toward the mark. That means to go forward. Well, you can't go forward if you're listening to the wrong counsel. The Bible said evil communication corrupteth good manners. You can train your children to be the most polite, most wonderful children, and you let them hang around with the wrong people for a little while, and before long, the bad ones won't get better, but the good ones will get worse. Now, you mark it down. You say, preacher, that just sounds like there's no hope. Oh, yes, there is. Pay attention to the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. And listen to God. Don't listen to everybody else. Because then, of course, he came to a wrong conclusion. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I know it's already 8 o'clock. I'm going to close here in a minute. I spend the time studying it, so you got to spend time listening to it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, page 1277 in your Scofield Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, not only were they misunderstood because of perverted counsel, but because of presumptuous conclusions. Hanan jumped to a conclusion without getting the facts. And notice what 1 Timothy tells us, chapter 6, and verse number 4. The Bible said, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, and then notice the next one, evil surmising. I looked up the word surmising. Here's what it means. Imagining upon little or no evidence. And then it's got another part that says the act of suspecting. Do you know in America, if you're a suspect, you're still supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Now we all know it doesn't work that way much anymore. Now you're kind of guilty, you've got to prove your innocence. But the whole point of that part of our law is because of this very thing here called evil surmisings. Do you notice that when there's envy and strife and misunderstanding that the surmisings are not good? Does it say good surmisings? Does it say heavenly surmisings? Does it say surmisings that exhort and encourage? Nope. says evil. You know what you're doing? Going backwards. It goes downhill from there. Folks, please, I beg of you, don't do anything or say anything or conclude anything until you know everything. Amen. I'm telling you, that'll keep our church healthy. That'll keep your marriage healthy. That'll keep your families healthy. It'll keep your kids healthy. Because Satan wants us to jump to conclusions. That's exactly what he wants. He wants us to do that. In Proverbs chapter number 18, look there quickly. I'm trying to speed up here. Proverbs chapter 18. And that's page number 684. Proverbs chapter 18, cross the page, look at verse 13. The Bible said, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame, not unto the person you think is wronged you, but it's folly and shame to you." Yeah, but you don't understand. I know what... No, you don't. If you don't know exactly, if you don't have concrete proof something has happened, then don't surmise it. Don't presume it. Don't assume it. Wait until you know everything, because I'm telling you, it's easier to wait for the facts and then God take care of it than for you not to wait and the whole thing go boom! And now your friendship's broken. Your church relationship's broken. Your relationship with your kids is broken. Your relationship with your husband or wife's broken. And now you got to work even harder to try to fix it when all you had to do was wait for God. I don't know why God told me to do all this tonight. But when I go home, I'm going to go home going, "I obeyed the Lord." And by the way, I'm talking to me just as much as you. So, you know what, Martha? I don't think what happened was a mistake. I think God ordained that just so I'd learn that lesson real good. I'm not beyond learning a lesson. I'm not beyond saying I'm sorry. You see, what happened was the Ammonites, instead of saying, "Hey, David, we're sorry," we just kind of jumped the gun a little bit. If we'd have listened to those servants first, we'd have known what was going on, and none of this would have happened. And 40,000 homes would still be together. Yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. My little tiff with brother or sister so-and-so, that doesn't really affect anybody else. Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. In Joshua 22, when the Israelites were crossing the Jordan, you remember when they got there, God parted the Jordan? Three tribes said, "We're going to stay on this side of the river." Gad and Reuben and Manasseh. And so they said, "Well, you can't do that. We're supposed to go this thing together." They said, "We like this land right here, and we believe this is where God wants us." And so the other nine tribes passed over. And so all of a sudden they look back, and there's some of the men from those tribes building an altar on the east side of the Jordan. Without one question, what they were doing. The other nine tribes said, "Look what they're doing. They're building an altar to sacrifice to false gods. They're going to start their own religion. And they're going to leave us." And before they knew what was going on, they got the tribes together and said, "We're going to go over to kill that bunch." That's their own brethren. That's their own folks. Thank God before that army was turned loose to cross over there, old Phinehas, he was one of the priests. He said, "Here, let me send somebody over. Me and some folks will go there and check this thing out. Now, if they're really doing what you say, we'll fix their wagon. But we're not going to do nothing until we find out the facts." And they went over there, and guess what? Those three tribes said, "We are building an altar to the Lord as a memorial for what God has done for us." They got the facts, went back, and said, "Boys, break it up. Everything's fine." But they were that close to a civil war and killing their own family members, perhaps, over a misunderstanding. Let me give you the last thing and I'm through. The overthrow of the Ammonites. Now, understand that in the story, David did absolutely nothing wrong. He didn't do one thing wrong. He was sending his condolences. But those Ammonites, too prideful to admit that they were wrong and that they jumped the gun and apologize, said, "We're going to hire some Syrians and they're going to go down and whoop that bunch down there and we'll kill them all so that they won't ever remind us of how wrong we were." Well, David did the only thing he could do. Defend himself. And he did. And he sent Joab. And boy, old Joab knew something about military procedure. So he gets the army together, splits it up, one side and the other. We're going to take the Syrians. You, Abishai, you take the Ammonites. And boy, when the battle starts, said, "If it's going bad for us, we'll toot the horn. You come help us." Said, "If it's going bad for you, toot the horn, we'll come help you." So they're exhorting and encouraging one another, even though they have been misunderstood. And they probably feel a little low because they're having to fight a battle that they weren't expecting. But now it's time to encourage one another. Hey, guess what? If somebody misunderstood what you said, or you misunderstood them, or there's some kind of strife going on, get it right before a fight starts that you cannot reverse. Because of this, 40,000 of those enemy soldiers died, and that means 40,000 or more homes were affected. Folks, I'm telling you, I have been in churches where simple misunderstandings have split that church into 1,000 pieces. I've been there. I know it. Without waiting to find out what's really going on or what it's all about, they just surmise in their heart, "I know what's going on, and I've been waiting for this because I want to get rid of so-and-so. Never did like them, no how." Oh, and by the way, in verse 18, the Ammonites wouldn't apologize, but the Syrians did. And said, "Man, if we'd have just listened to the facts, David, we wouldn't even be..." And in fact, David, we make you a promise. We're never going to listen to them Ammonites ever again. When you find out that someone's goal is to hurt or destroy, especially in the family of God, and you know it, stay away from them. The Bible says that we're not supposed to have anything to do with folks like that. That's what the Bible... That's not me. That's what the Word of God says. It says, "From such turn away." Because I'm telling you, Satan is out there and he's working overtime to try to get somebody to get offended about something. Now, if it's for real and you got the facts, then you deal with it. But even then, there's a Bible way to do that. But when you're not sure and you're just going off presumption and assumption, then just remember, when the cloud clears, you may get your way and you may feel like you got, "Boy, I got them, didn't I?" Well, when the smoke clears, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If your motive was wrong, and God knows it, before you turn around good, you've gone backwards. And it's hard to get back. You remember when the prodigal left home? Everything was great as long as he had money, you know. The Bible said he went to a far country. Now, going out there, he had money, so he could stay at the Holiday Inn Express. And, you know, he'd go to the Golden Corral, go down to the liquor joint with his friends, you know. But now he's way off somewhere. Now his money's gone. His friends are gone. He's eating out of a hog trough. He's eating what hogs eat. Stinking, nasty. Now he says, "I believe I'll go home." Now here's what happens. "I believe I'll go home." He said, and then the next thing you know, he's at home. And his father's running out there to kiss him on the cheek, you know. You know the story. But you know what you don't hear? The trip back. When he had money, it was an easy trip going way out there. But man, when you don't have anything and all your mess has now caught up with you and you got to make that long trip home with nothing, makes the trip back a whole lot harder, doesn't it? I'm telling you, you get away from God and you let something like this get in the way, and it hurts your testimony and it ruins your opportunity to serve the Lord. And then you come to yourself and say, oh God, I'm sorry. That's exactly what you should do. But when you do, if you wait too long, you're going to look back and say, they're so far ahead of me now. God's not going to forgive you and just pluck you up and put you back in the middle. He's going to make you walk back. So the next time you'll understand how hard it might be if you go backwards. Amen? It's 8:15. I went 15 minutes over, but I'm telling you before God, I feel like I have given all of us God's Word tonight. I'm telling you, God's going to do something good around here. I think He's doing it now. I do. I really do. But and we want everybody to be involved. So be careful who you listen to. Don't listen to the devil for sure. Get in that Word, get on your knees and listen to God. And if there's a problem, get it right, but do it the Bible way. And then forgive. If the other one says, I'm not sorry, you forgive him anyway. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How about that? Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I thank you for the message, and it certainly did. And Lord, what happened before the service was what I thought was just an anomaly, a mess up. You know, and I do that all the time. But Lord, I have no doubt, no fault of Sister Martha's. And it wasn't any fault of mine until I opened my mouth. But Lord, you taught me this lesson before I even stood up here to give it. Be careful what you say if you don't have all the facts. Even if your motive is correct. Even if your motive is pure, be careful. Lord, I promise you, Lord, if you'll help me, I won't do that again. I'm going to study to be quiet. I'm going to wait and weigh it all out. And then I'm going to seek counsel from the Lord. I'm glad I've got good deacons, good men here in the church that I can get good counsel from. Sometimes I get good counsel from my dear wife. And Lord, I need to wait before I act. Lord, I pray that you'll help our people to have that same attitude. Wait before you act. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But Lord, if we don't wait on the Lord, if we don't do it God's way, if we let a misunderstanding because of our presumption or assumption turn into something worse, the Bible said we're going backwards. And it's a long trip to get back where we were. So, dear Lord, use this word tonight. That's all. I didn't preach this tonight to convict anyone of anything. I just gave it as you gave it to me. And it spoke to my heart for sure. So thank you for it. If I'm the only one that gets anything out of it tonight, then I'm grateful. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless Anchor Baptist Church and help us to treat each other. Help us to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We love you. Bless the invitation in Christ's name. Amen.